Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. I just want to read to you a letter that Bishop Fillet has asked to be read. It was read on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7th, which was just a few days ago. And so he asked us to read because you may be aware that there was a meeting of this the superiors of the society on the Feast of the Holy Rosary, so that is why Father Rostand had asked for us to try to pray the 15 decades of the Rosary. I apologize that I didn't get the email out to all the parishioners, but after the Mass at 8:30, the school Mass that we had on Friday, First Friday, we did have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. It was something that one of the things that Father Rostand had asked about, adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then also to try to pray the 15 decades of the Rosary that day, since it was the Feast of the Holy Rosary, beseeching Our Lady to help the superiors to be able to see clearly the proposition of Rome, and then also the crisis in the Church. But they asked us on Sunday then to also to read the letter for those that weren't able to attend the Mass and listen to the letter on October 7th. So this is from the General House of the Society in Menzingen. During this month of the Rosary, and in particular on the occasion of the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary on October 7th, when the superiors of the Society of St. Pius X will meet to study the recent proposals from Rome, Bishop Bernard Fillet asks all priests and faithful to intensify their generous participation in the Rosary Crusade that began on Easter of 2011 and ends on Pentecost of 2012. On September 29th, in an interview given in Stuttgart, Germany, Father Nicholas Pfluger, first assistant of the Society, recalled, "We are not that concerned about any advantage of our own. We want to make the treasure that Archbishop Lefebvre entrusted to our safekeeping available again for the whole Church. We are concerned instead about the Catholic Church. Together with the Archbishop, we too would like to say the words of St. Paul that you find in 1 Corinthians 11:23, Tradidi quod et accepit. We hand on what we ourselves have received." During the conference he gave on October 1st at Villeprey, France, Bishop Fillet stated, "Sister Lucy confided to Father Fuentes that the Blessed Virgin has put in this prayer, the Rosary, a particular efficacy such that it is able to solve all problems. Sister Lucy said it at Fatima, all problems, listen well, all, you must believe it. Our Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from hence hither, and it shall remove, Matthew 17:19. Ask for this faith, the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. In addition, we are counting on you to escalate this Rosary Crusade. There should be absolutely no doubt that the prayer of any part of the Church that comes together to ask for this great graces is pleasing to the good Lord, honors him, and honors the Blessed Virgin. So let us go forth, let us carry on this crusade with faith and confidence in the good Lord." So that those are the words that Menzingen, the General House, sends to us. And so it's just a reminder about the Rosary Crusade. As he mentioned, it is something that we started last Easter, and it'll run to this Pentecost. And so definitely we do need the intensified prayers of all of you, and your sacrifices for that intention. So the epistle for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. "Brethren, I, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you were called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen." Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. "At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets. And the Pharisees being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They say to him, David's. He said to them, How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Please be seated. Walk worthy of your vocation. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We see in the gospel accounts how it says that this one asked our Lord, he tempted our Lord asking him, what is the greatest commandment? And so by him saying that, he is asking our Lord, so basically try to decide for me then what is the greatest commandment that I must try to follow, what I should try to go in to live by. And our Lord knew that he was tempting him. So our Lord basically gave him the understanding, okay, there is two commandments, two great commandments. The first one is to love God above all things. And then secondly, following upon that, there is the love of one's neighbor. And so he said he sums up the commandments, and we can see that ourselves, that the first three are dedicated to our relationship with Almighty God, and then the last seven are where we have toward our neighbor, the love for our neighbor. And so we see that very clearly in the Ten Commandments itself. But our Lord was trying to illustrate this for this man because he was tempting our Lord, asking him this question. And so when our Lord responds to him what the two great commandments are, it is based on the love of God, both of them. And that's what we must understand is true charity. True charity is the love of God above all things. And then because we love God so much, then we will also love our neighbor. And that is how our Lord sums up these great commandments. That is how he sums up the way that we should live our lives. And that is why then we must try to focus on the love of God, to understand that that is truly what the meaning for charity is for us, is to love God above all things. And so when St. Paul tells us to walk worthy of our vocation, that vocation is to love God above all things. It is what we are all called for. God has created us. God has called us to where we are meant to come back to him. And that is why he has placed us in this life. And so then all of our actions, all of them, must be toward that one goal, is to come back to God. And so that is why then it is good for us to examine, to try to see, you know, have we lived our life that we love God? Have we placed God above everything, or have we sometimes brought material things or creatures in the way? Do we focus on God? And that becomes for us what St. Paul is talking about. You know, are you worthy of the vocation? Are you worthy of being called a Christian, a follower of Christ? You know, do you live your life with that in mind? And so that becomes for us a way to examine ourselves based on these two great commandments. And that is why then our Lord, he gives that to sum it all up. Because like I said, if you look at the Ten Commandments, they can be broken up into those two distinctions. And by breaking it up into those two distinctions, that is very easy for us to try to then judge. How have we done? Have we tried to love God above all things? And then based on that, you know, then do we love our neighbor as we love God? And so it is interesting, St. Augustine, he says, the precept is twofold. So he says, yes, the precept is twofold of saying, love God above all things, love your neighbor for the love of God. But he says, charity is one. And so then again, it comes back to the understanding. Do we have a proper understanding of what charity is? Charity can be misused by the world today. Charity also includes a fraternal charity, a correction if need be. But again, you correct someone out of love for them. You know, whether a pastor has to correct a parishioner, or a parent has to correct one of their children, or a teacher correcting one of the students, they do it, and it should be done out of a true love for that soul, of trying to guide them, of trying to form them, and trying to help them on the path that they are created for. And so, yes, there will be at times that you must try to correct someone. But again, as I say, it must be done out of a true love for their soul. It must be done with the intention of trying to help them to reach that goal. But that is why I say then for us, sometimes we see with the modern world, they don't have that proper understanding. The whole idea sometimes of correcting another person, you don't want to offend anyone, so therefore you won't say anything. Or you just let people go as they are. Even souls that are maybe entrusted to your care, souls that you have a responsibility to take care of. It is almost like, well, I don't want to push them. I don't want to, you know, make them upset. But what good is that for their soul? How is that really helping them? If that is the mentality that you have. And so, yes, there will be times that we must gently correct. We must try to help them to see that. And that is a responsibility that we have when you have somewhat of an authority. Parents, teachers, the priest. But really, when we look at it, all of us have a care for other souls. Granted, it has to be careful of how we do it and how we fraternally correct. As I say, it must stem from the love for that soul. Not to get even, not to put them in their place. I mean, that is a wrong mentality. That doesn't stem from a love of God if you do it that way. And so therefore, you must try to then have that understanding of how you should be living your life, leading by example, of showing someone of how we do. We love God above all things. That all of our actions should flow from that. I mean, that is how we should be living our lives. And that is why when our Lord says to him, you know, the greatest commandment is this, and he explains it very clearly to him, to truly love God above all things, with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, your whole being, you love God. I mean, how clear it is for us. And yet, sometimes how difficult it is for us to follow through on that. We know that God has created us. We know that God has created us to come back to Him. We owe everything to God, and yet, a lot of times, we do. We fall short of that. We fall short of truly placing everything toward God. And so that is what we must try to examine. Just as our Lord, when he says to this lawyer who asked him, you know, Master, what is the greatest commandment? Tempting our Lord. And our Lord simply tells him, these are the two great commandments, and upon these are based the whole law. Upon these two things is how you should live your whole life. And if you do, well, then you will be worthy of the vocation that God has called you to. If you live worthy of those two great commandments. And so therefore, it is for us an understanding of how we should live our life. It is clearly placed in front of us by our Lord that these are the two things that we must follow. These are the two things that we must try to live our lives by. And so that's why I say, take advantage of what is given to you. You know, this day of adoration that we have. What a way to express your love for God. What a way for you to show that you do love God above all things by making the time to come and see Him, to visit Him. I mean, that is the thing that we must understand. Our Lord has created us. Our Lord has he has created us in order to come back to us. And so he is here in the tabernacle. He waits for us. And so, yes, the question becomes, can you not spend 1 hour with me? How simple that sounds to be. But a lot of times, how many excuses we have. How many excuses we have to not be able to spend that time in front of our Lord. So yes, now the time frame has been expanded. The time frame has been expanded for you to come and to spend some time. To express your true love for God. To direct all of your actions toward Almighty God. To ask Him very simply to help you, to give you the graces that you need to love Him above everything. With your whole being. And that is what we have this opportunity for. And that is what the encouragement is for. That we do spend that time before our Lord, asking Him for the graces. You know, how often times we will do good things for other people. We will be very charitable toward other souls, which is good. Which is very good that we show that charity toward them. But by doing those things, we should direct it toward Almighty God. Not necessarily just for that person, just to show them that we love them. We do it for the love of God first and foremost. And by extension, yes, to the love of them. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's even a perfect stranger. But you would do it because you love God. But then we can just simply ask ourselves, what have we done to show Almighty God how much we love Him? You know, what sacrifices, what prayers, what ways have we shown to Him? And that is why when the keys are changed this coming Tuesday, it was supposed to be Thursday, they were overwhelmed by the amount of keys that I have. Very simply, yes, the one door will open by the lockbox so anyone can enter. Anyone can come and make a visit to our Lord. You're passing by, you can stop and you can make a visit. And so, yes, it will still be opened in a sense to everyone. And so we just need to try to understand that is one way to express the true love that we have for God. It is a simple way. But it's a necessary way for us to spend that time, to spend our time wisely, of beseeching Almighty God, of asking God for the graces we need to be able to come back to Him. And so that is how we will live up to the words that St. Paul exhorts us to walk worthy of your vocation. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.